This is David Kaplan on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Cap and Company podcast, presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Welcome into Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Jesse Rogers. Watch the show on Twitch. Search for the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. We're going to talk some baseball as we go on out to our Corona hotline.
He's the assistant pitching coach and game planner for the Chicago Cubs. Finally getting back to work basically officially tomorrow with the first day of summer camp or spring training 2.0. He is Mike Borzello joining us on ESPN 1000. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We are well. Let us start with the guy you work closely with, Tommy Hotovy. Take us through your perspective of his illness. He was doing Zoom calls with pitchers. I assume you were on some of those calls. When did you find out about his illness and how serious it was? Just give us your perspective about Tommy, who's such a nice guy.
Yeah, I heard about Tommy first, and then he gave me a call. This is probably maybe a month and a half ago, somewhere around there, that he wasn't feeling well. And he had already left Arizona, obviously, and headed back to Chicago, where he lived. And he called me, and he said he got tested, and he was waiting on the results. And then maybe a couple days later, he found out that he tested positive. And it got progressively worse from there for him. I mean, I think we read the story, but he had a temperature around 103, 104 for at least 2 weeks, maybe three from what he told me. And he obviously was quarantined upstairs in his house away from his family because he has a wife and kids. So trying to avoid passing it along, and so he wound up spending over 30 days up there, and just actually having FaceTime and Zoom calls with his family, and then us as well.
Yesterday he did a few interviews, and he was very emotional, and, I mean, tears in his eyes during a Zoom call, and he really wanted to tell a story as a cautionary tale to obviously your players and anybody listening that you got to take this seriously. And I mean, how proud of you was he that he went public and just the way he's handled this since going public and the message he's giving?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was the real eye-opening moment for all of us here, at least with the Cubs, where you not that you didn't believe the severity of all this, but you kind of pick and choose what you feel is accurate and what it may be sensationalized. And when we heard about Tommy, I mean, that's when it stopped you in your tracks. Like, this is real. This is something we all have to take seriously. And again, not that we weren't already, but it just pushed you back even more. And I'm happy he went public with it. I wanted, people to know that it's not the flu, it's not a cold, it's not, it affects people in so many different ways, obviously. And Tommy, as you guys know, Tommy's in great shape. He's still young. So for him to get tackled by this thing the way he did was really, really alarming. And I'm happy you shared his story.
Mike, what were some of those conversations like with the players and other members of the coaching staff when they found out the information and kind of just reacting and knowing that this could really happen to anybody?
Yeah, we're in baseball. When you're in sports and you're around so many young guys in the prime of their life and not a lot of bad has ever happened to most of them, they feel invincible. And I mean, I'm I'm almost 50 years old now, but I remember being in my 20s and thinking like, yeah, yeah, you know, but not me. And I think even, you know, our guys that are in their younger 20s, even touching 30, when they heard about Tommy, it was scary first, you know. And I think the reaction, I don't want to ever say that it was a positive, but it worked out to be a positive for our team, I think, because everyone really, really locked it in, took it serious, and went through the necessary protocols to, you know, be able to come in now and start this thing tomorrow.
Mike Borzello with us on ESPN 1000. All right, let's talk about you for a moment. You were in Arizona when things got shut down. I assume you made it back to Chicago somewhat recently. What was your quarantine like? And have you been cleared? Can you get back to work tomorrow in Wrigley and start working those pitchers out? Are you safe?
I quarantined again using Tommy. We quarantined, me and my wife, in Arizona, so we stayed in the house. But right when the moment happened that Tommy called me, it became even more serious. Not that we were going to head out or push the envelope on this thing, but that made us realize, okay, we're staying in our house till, you know, somebody tells us otherwise. So we were smart about this thing. We did fly into Chicago a couple days ago, and then I got my test basically when I landed, came to Wrigley and got tested. I was luckily cleared, and I'm here at Wrigley today, actually.
What was that testing process like? Take us behind the scenes, what you had to go through to get tested.
Yeah, so they take you in, they go through all the necessary questions about where you've been, who you've been in contact with, what you've been up to. They kind of have to take your word for it on that. And then hopefully everyone's forthright, but I told them my story. We've been quarantined, and then they take you in the back and you do two tests, and one is a saliva test and one is a blood test. And they're a little bit challenging only because you have to administer the whole thing yourself with the – the people in charge of this thing are behind a glass, so they're kind of coaching you through it. But you have to prick your own finger, draw blood, put it in a tube. Yeah, so it's something you've never experienced before. I mean, at least I never have. I've never had to stick myself with a needle. So, you know, once you do it, it's not what you look back on it, and it's not that big of a deal. But going into it, you're like, wait, what? So. But anyways, I think you get used to it because we're going to be testing throughout this whole process. And yeah, luckily, the news came back positively.
Yeah. Steve Cishek was on with us yesterday and he said it was a lot of spitting involved to get the saliva test done. Was that the case with you as well?
Yeah. You have to fill a tube. So, yeah. I mean, it's something, again, you've never done before. So you're sitting there, but you know, in the end, it's not that big a deal. I think, you know, that they were really helpful and really patient with us going through.
Games are going to start up at the end of the month. Do you feel that you have enough time to get the pitching staff ready to go for opening day?
Yeah, I actually do. I think most of our guys have been throwing throughout this in some fashion. Again, it's not the same as facing hitters or you know, logging innings, even in spring training, and this will be so abbreviated. But I do feel like our guys are close enough. I think, for the most part, our normal spring training is dragged out and unnecessary to an extent. It is for the pitchers, but I think our pitchers are closer than we should worry about.
And can you be in proximity to the pitchers? Like, how do you have to, you know, be careful around them?
That's a good question. I'm going to learn as I go here. I think I'm going to approach it with my mask on and maybe even wear some gloves. But I think the interaction is going to be similar. I'm generally 60 feet, 6 inches away from the mound anyway, because I do my stuff down by the catcher. And standing in and discussing, you know, pitches, characteristics, sequences and stuff like that, I don't think that'll change very much. I just think there'll be a lot more caution as far as, you know, throwing and playing catch and possibly sweating and exchanging any kind of fluids with each other. You know, it's going to be weird, but I think my job actually won't be affected that much.
Well, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you a little scouting report. I ate dinner at Chicago Cut last night. I mean, what a night to eat outside and have dinner. What a steak I had. Amazing. You know who I ran into. Who did I run into, Mike? You know.
John Lester.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. The big lefty.
I feel like he's part owner of that place.
No. Exactly. First night back in town, he goes there. So I probably got as close to him as I will all season, because media-wise, we're not going to be able to see these guys up close. Now, I certainly didn't go right up next to him. I mean, we were 6, 7, 10 feet apart or whatever. Said hello. Here's my scouting report. He's not 300 pounds. I mean, quarantine, no. You know, and that it was that a question as well? Forget about just your arm. Did guys stay in physical shape? And I could say John Lester looks like he did. Have the rest of those guys stayed in shape as well as their arm?
Yeah, I think they all have. A lot of the guys were still in Arizona, so wherever they were able to go out and run, I don't think they were able to get in to weight rooms and do that kind of stuff, but I think cardio, you can still pound the pavement with your feet, right? So I think most of our guys are in shape, cardiovascular shape especially, which is most important when it comes to pitching. You got to have your legs, especially starting pitchers. And I've talked to John throughout this whole thing, and the only reservations he had on this was he didn't want to keep starting and stopping just because he's on the older side and he's logged so many innings that he wanted a date to look at and say, okay, let's get ready for that date. And until he got that, I think he was trying to hold off on throwing too much.
When we look at the 162 game schedule, there's a certain flow about a baseball season. When you look at 60 games, how do you think that's going to play out this season?
I'm sorry, I missed that question.
Well, like, how do you think the flow of a 60-game schedule is going to play out? You know, we're all used to 162. There's a certain vibe, a certain flow of a regular season. How do you think the sprint for 60 games is going to work out?
I think it's going to be really, really odd. I think it's going to be a challenge for David Ross, to be honest with you. I think, you know, it's unprecedented, so you're approaching this thing without having anything to look back on at all, where you can decide what's the right way to play it. It's never been played, right? So if we were talking about games where, let's say for argument's sake, you do fall behind early big, you give up 5 in the first. What do you do? Do you let that affect tomorrow's game and go to your bullpen right away? Or do you punt on a game like that and let your starter stay out there and log the innings because we don't want to burn our pen for the next 2 or 3 games and have that affect us? I mean, there's going to be a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made that would be different in a 162-game season, that's for sure.
No doubt.
We're still talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Visiting with Mike Brazell, assistant pitching coach of the Chicago Cubs. I should mention another scouting report I could give you. My brother sends me a video of Yu Darvish pitching in a park in the northern suburbs. I'm like, dude, stop stalking. And how did he look? But isn't it just crazy how guys have had to get ready, like in a park in you know, Wilmette or Evanston, wherever he is. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just crazy. And that brings me to the next point. I mean, guys like Darvish and Lester, all these veterans you have on your starting staff. I mean, if you take the optimistic look, I mean, John Lester probably doesn't have 30 good starts in him anymore at this point of his career, but he might have 10 or 12. And we know Yu Darvish has 10 or 12. And cross your fingers, Jose Quintana has 8 or 9. I mean, sometimes we get the good Quintana, bad Quintana. But is that the optimistic view you're taking and you guys are taking? Like, we have a veteran staff that this might be perfect for if they're in shape.
Yeah, I mean, this could work in our favor for sure. I still believe you win with starting pitching in this league. I still think when you look at the world champions each year, Other than maybe that one year with the Royals where they leaned on that bullpen that was unlike any other created, that you win with pitching. In an offensive age, you still win, and you win with starting pitching. And I think, yeah, quite possibly with a limited schedule, that works in the favor of our veteran staff. Now, they're going to have to come out of the gate ready to go, and I expect them to. But yeah, the shortened season can be a positive, but you can't pitch your way into shape. That's the difference here. Not that you do in the regular season, but your first few starts are generally five-inning starts. You're kept at about 70 pitches, 80 pitches tops. The days of opening day starters throwing 100 and 110 pitches don't really happen anymore. We're very cautious health-wise. So we'll see how that plays out. But I really, really believe we're going to win, and we're going to win because of our starting pitching. I still rely and believe and trust the guys that we have on this team.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you so much for your time. It'll be interesting to be back at Wrigley tomorrow for myself and the other reporters and watch how this all plays out without fans later in the month. But, you know, we try to make the best of it, right, and hopefully win some games.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm at Wrigley right now, and it is weird when you enter and you have to go through all the stuff, and then it's weird when you go down the clubhouse and you have to listen to certain things and protocols and all that. But once you come out on the field where I am right now, it's still Wrigley Field, and it really still feels special, and I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for your time. Stay healthy.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it. That's Mike Borzello, Cubs catching coach, here on ESPN 1000 with Jesse Rogers and Chris Black. Interesting conversation about
strategy. I could have gone an hour with them, because there's just so many layers to this thing.
Like, Jesse, not only I think you're right on with John Lester. 12 starts?
Yeah.
He can bring his A game for 12 starts. And, like, that's why I like this Cubs rotation in this schedule. 60 games. I think it's going to benefit them.
Yurko always used to make fun of the fact that I once reported, Lester said to me, I usually don't get rolling until 100 innings.
Right.
Now, he can't wait that long. Now, and that's not even true, though. He had a really good April last year, if I recall. He got hurt, and then things changed. So he can be – that's just in his mind. Like, I need time. I'm a big guy. But I was talking to Borzello off the air, and he mentioned, like, remember, it's easier to get loose now than it is in April. So if these guys are in shape, they should be ready to go a little bit more than you might think compared to if this was April 1st. It's warm. They can get loose. They can get ready to roll. And so, yeah, a guy like John Lester should have 10, 12 good starts in him, and maybe he doesn't have to wait 100 innings to feel at his best.
That's Jesse Rogers. I'm Chris Bleck. Giannis Antetokounmpo says the championship in the NBA will be the toughest ever. Is he right?
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. And coming. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Chris Buck, Jesse Rogers, sitting in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000. Jesse, if we look at the NBA heading to this campus setting in Orlando at Walt Disney World, the championship is going to be tough to win no matter what year it is. But will this year's championship, a lot of people point to, there will be an asterisk. But I think some of the pushback that's starting to come out, we heard Nick Nurse earlier today on Golic and Wingo kind of brush that off, that it won't be an asterisk. It will be actually a badge of honor to win a championship in this type of setting, in this type of year, dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Asterisk is for the baseball season, because baseball isn't meant for 60 games, blah, 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 blah. But they've played most of their season. We know who the good teams are. Now there's a break in the action, okay. But that's going to be part of who comes back in shape, who plays as a team again. You know, that's part of the storyline. So.
Sure.
I'm more apt to believe, Giannis, that this is going to be more special in a sense than I would anybody that says that in baseball. You know, it's not going to be special. It's just going to be unique and different in baseball. This can be considered special, I guess. But yeah, it's a challenge. Sure, I wouldn't take away anything from the NBA champion here.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, who probably will be the MVP of this season. He won the MVP last year. Here's Giannis talking about how this will be the toughest championship ever to win.
Now, I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, there's going to be, how you guys say, the star next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this is going to be the toughest, like, championship you could ever win, you know, because, like, the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So, whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
So that's Giannis. This is from ESPN, their BPI, Basketball Power Index, heading into the final part of the season, the playoffs. The best chance to win the NBA title, according to ESPN's BPI, the Bucks have an 83% chance to win the NBA title. The Lakers are second at 13%. The Clippers, 2.3%. And the Toronto Raptors are fourth with a 1.2% chance. Do you, Jesse, look at this situation and see anyone outside of the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers winning the NBA title? Is there anyone out there that you think throughout the NBA season you might say, yeah, I could see that actually happening? There's a team that jumps off the page for me. It's the Houston Rockets. You know, if James Harden comes out and is playing at the premier level that he can play at, and the style of play that they use, shooting all the 3-point shots in this weird kind of tournament, I could see Houston getting to a conference finals, getting to the finals.
Well, I don't think you ever count out Houston. I mean, the way they play and the way Harden is. But here's my question, though. I want to put something else in the equation. Are you taking into account the shutdown, or it doesn't? Meaning, which teams are more ready than others to come out of it? Or look, the teams you just mentioned are the most talented. It's going to be one of those 3-4 teams.
Well, yeah, you know, I would. One thing I would be concerned with is Denver. They shut down their practice facility this week because so many people tested positive for COVID-19. So, like, does that set a team like the Nuggets back dealing with all this stuff and then heading to Orlando? That's a concern. As far as the talent on the court, listen, the NBA is great because usually the talent rises to the top. You know, it's unusual for a champion to come out of nowhere and win a championship in the NBA. Toronto winning the championship last year was, you know, if you look at the list of champions throughout the history of the NBA, a bit unusual. And then you say, well, Kawhi Leonard is probably one of the three best players in the league. Then you say, all right, not that unusual, right?
Like, just a little unusual.
The best players in the league usually get to the finals,
right?
And the best players in the league usually win those titles.
And I'm just wondering if that's still the case with this strange shutdown. So to answer your question, let's say it matter how they've handled the shutdown matters within organization. Let's assume the better organizations have a better chance at some sort of an upset. What I'm getting at is the Miami Heat. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, you like the Heat?
Who doesn't love that organization? Come on.
Yeah, they do.
They do things the right way.
They certainly do.
And this year, finally, it's come together record-wise. Like, they've had some bad starts in recent years, but Spoelstra, Riley, they've done the things the right way since LeBron left, as best as you can, knowing that you don't have him anymore. 41-24, so obviously one of the better teams. To me, that's a team, if how you handle the shutdown matters, I would just assume that they will have handled it really well, and they'll come out of it in good fashion. We'll see.
I would guess that most of their players are also in Florida already. A lot of NBA players live in Florida. Miami is where they play, so you would imagine that a lot of them live in Miami. So, like, the traveling aspect to get to Orlando, not as different than, say, a team that's, you know, Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets getting to Orlando, we've seen some concerns there. Two of their players questionable if they right. You know,
maybe
DeAndre
maybe they're not out of their comfort zone like these other teams will be. I just like the Heat, and if they can upset some teams, I think, or if there's going to be an upset team, I think they could be it.
I know you love a good hot take. If this is the toughest championship to win ever,
9-12 every day.
If you said it, not me. If this is the case, if people agree with Giannis Antetokounmpo that this is the toughest championship ever, you know where I'm going with this? If I mentioned a hot take, if LeBron James wins the title, how much ammo would that give the camp that suggests that LeBron is better than MJ? How much ammo would that give them?
No, I think that is a bad hot take because
you don't think that they would use that. You're telling me that Nick Wright wouldn't be all over, bebopping all over Fox Sports with that.
LeBron James
is the greatest ever because he won the toughest championship.
If they were the fifth seed in the West and won it, yes, but they're already the best team in the West.
I'm foreshadowing
by 5 games.
What's going to take place? LeBron's going to win the title, and then the camp that suggests that LeBron James is the GOAT and not Michael Jordan, they will have a field day suggesting that, well, Giannis said this is the toughest championship ever. People said all along this was such a difficult circumstance that now that LeBron has this title, he is on the same level as MJ. You know that that's going to happen.
That doesn't resonate with me when you're already on the best team. And by the way, enough with this. I mean, Anthony Davis teams up. Dwayne Wade teams up with them. Come on. This is just dumb. That's a dumb argument.
What's dumb?
The league's
free
different
agency?
Now. Yeah. No, I'm saying this teaming up thing. If Jordan teamed up with Magic, how many championships would they win? If Jordan teamed up, I mean, with Ewing or some of these other stars, how many championships would they win?
He had a teammate, Scottie Pippen.
Right. Right.
It's the best number two ever.
Okay, but he still, there were players in the league better than Pippen.
Yeah, there were a couple.
So if he teamed up with him, how many would Jordan win?
Could Jordan and Ewing?
I don't even know what it's turning into.
Well, that's why I'm trying
to find
out.
Turning into a break.
Okay. Well, no, you're not going to slip out of this one, Jesse. So you're saying Jordan and Ewing more championships than Jordan and Pippen. Is that what I just heard?
No, I'm just saying.
Take Pippen.
The Pippen thing happened organically. You drafted him, he turned into a great player. Maybe Jordan helped turn him into a great player. It wasn't coordinated. I watched the decision last night, and I'm like, oh my God, is this looks silly and just, you know what I mean? Years later, it looks even worse than it was at the time.
Speaking of something that's silly, we will discuss that next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Chris Black, Jesse Rogers, sitting in for David Kaplan today. Ike on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're good, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I was listening to you guys having that brief conversation about MJ versus LeBron, and you said real quick that you said it. I think it was kind of tongue in cheek that Scottie was the best number two ever, and I love Scottie. I'm 40 years old. I'm from Chicago. There's no question about the Bulls and their greatness. But I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played with Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson, so I think that. Out of those three guys, one of them has to be the best number two ever, as well as Shaq and Kobe playing together. You know what I'm saying? But Scottie wasn't the best number two. And I think you said it when you said that it happened organically. Michael Jordan made Scottie, you know. Like you saw in The Last Dance, this is something that we knew in Chicago. Scottie Pippen had to be up with Mike, working out early, you know, going through the process with the same level of meticulousness that Mike did in order to become great. You know, and as for Giannis saying that this is the most difficult championship, you don't have to travel, you don't have the distractions, you don't have to worry about a number of things. You're in a bubble, and all you have to focus on is basketball. That makes it more straightforward, at the very least.
No hostile environments, right?
Exactly. No Utah fans. Threatening your mother's life or you know, camera people throwing stuff at you or, you know, people giving you nasty pizzas and, you know, pizzas and stuff like that. So yeah. I think it'll be great, but it's not the great. The most difficult championship would have been for somebody to beat those KD Warriors, and nobody did. So I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it.
Ike, one other thing. Good call. What do you think of Jesse's point that Jordan and Ewing would win more than Scottie and Jordan? What do you think of that take?
Well, back in the 80s and 90s, now you got two guys who got to get double teamed. You know what I'm saying? Like you remember Shaq, you remember Kobe and Shaq and like that second championship, how Kobe looked like, you know what I mean? He was a alien. It was because he had Shaq on the block and you had to put two 2.5 guys on Shaq, and you needed 2.5 guys on Kobe, and then there were other guys on the court, and it mathematically was just not possible to guard him. So with Ewing on the block, you got to double-team him. With Mike, you got to put the other three guys. They would have had to put, like, 4 more guys on the court.
I like this guy.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Great call.
I don't think you actually said that. I think I put those words in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, you knew where I was going with it. I mean, it's hard to win more than 6, right, in an 8-year span, especially with the retirement in the middle. Maybe they could have won more at the beginning of Michael's career because Scotty wasn't exactly Scotty. The whole team around him wasn't exactly very good. But you know what I was meaning.
Jesse, I'm kidding. We don't need to break down Scotty and Patrick Ewing as Michael Jordan's teammates.
Can I tell you what I did yesterday real quick?
Yeah.
I did a couple things, first of all. I after the show, I did a podcast with John Scott. Remember John Scott, the hockey player?
Yeah, yeah.
The one that they got into the All-Star game. That's kind of what
he was older, right?
Yeah, and he was just a huge defenseman. He mm-hmm. didn't deserve to be in the All-Star game necessarily, but the fans
it's
got
like
him.
It's like a feel-good story.
Great guy. He's a former Blackhawk. Well, he has some podcasts. I don't have the details yet because he's going to let me know, but he interviewed me for this podcast on the 2010 Blackhawks, and apparently he interviewed like everybody on the team. So this is going to be a hell of a podcast because the 10-year anniversary just passed.
Yeah.
So that was so cool to go down memory lane with him for like 20, 25 minutes. So that podcast is going to be out in about a week. I'll tweet out the link to it. Then last night I went to Chicago Cut, a who's who of celebrities there. Okay, you got a Michael Kopech in one quarter. You got a John Lester. You got
Hold on. Kopech, how did he look? Give us a scouting report.
He looked as good. I didn't go up to him like I did with Lester, but he looked good from afar. He looked good from afar.
So reporting here on ESPN 1000, yes. Kopech looks good?
Neither of those guys are 300 pounds. That's my expert analysis. Chris Chelios was there.
Of course.
Wonderful, wonderful meal. David Flom, obviously, working the room with his mask on, the proprietor. Even though we're sitting outside, you know, everyone is wearing masks, the people that work there, the waiters and Flom. But, I mean, the city is just gorgeous at night, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
When the weather's good, you know, you can walk around. We walked off our meal afterwards, and I actually stayed downtown. I live in the suburbs. I stayed downtown at the Chicago Hotel. I want to give them a plug because they were so nice. First night, they're open in 3 months. It's called the Chicago Autograph Hotel. It's like a Marriott hotel right by House of Blues.
Mm-hmm.
First time, first night, they're open in 3.5
months. Were you the first guest?
Yes, I was the first guest. Wow. I was the first guest. I asked the general manager, they had like 7 rooms booked for the night, and he just was like down. You know, he seemed down about the whole thing, just like business is just, you know, we were closed for 3 months, but hopefully slowly but surely. I mean, we have to say, man, Illinois so far has done a good job. I don't know if we were lucky or just we actually followed the guidelines. We stayed at home. We put our masks on. We continue to do that. And every other state, it seems like, is spiking. And Illinois has done a good job. Cross your fingers, knock on my head, wood. And hopefully we stay that way because this city in the summer is so awesome. It would suck to stay back at home, you know, go back at home.
Yeah, and like, keep that in mind this weekend, right? Because people are going to want to get together for 4th of July. You know, keep your distance, wear the masks, stay the plan. Because, like, I think we've all done a good job in this state, in this city specifically, to get to this point, right? So, like, stick with the plan. You know, it's funny about that. My wife and I, we walked to dinner last night, too. We went to Bar Sienna, and we got there, and we thought we were sitting outside. And when we got there, they're like, we actually only have a table inside. My first reaction was,
no thanks.
I'm not. And she's like, well, walk upstairs and see what you think. We went upstairs and there were only 2 tables. Like there was one other couple on the other side of the upstairs
mm-hmm.
and we were back in a different corner and we were like, okay, I mean, yeah, if we're not around people, then what's the difference? Right? Like that's the problem is being around other people.
In part, I guess air recycled air conditioned air, you know what I mean? That is part of it as well. I've like, that scares me a little bit. Like, you know, you could wear a mask and you could be in a movie theater 6 feet, you know, 6 feet apart, but that is, that air circulates. And that's my worry if it's enclosed to be in a restaurant, even if there aren't a lot of people around, that virus could be running, you know, could be in the air somehow.
Yeah, it could be.
Less people in the building, the better though.
Yeah, I mean, if there were tables near us, I would imagine we probably would have left.
Right.
Because we've just been trying to be smart about it.
Right, I mean, why not be safe? It doesn't cost you anything to be safe. That's why you and I agree about the mask. It's not, It's not like you're giving, what did I say yesterday? You're not giving up your firstborn. You're wearing a silly mask. And it's not that big of a deal.
Well, and
I mean, it's much worse if you have to wear it for 8 straight hours like these waiters and waitresses last night.
Sure. And you know, that's why being outside is great. And also, like, just following the rules, which is not a big problem. So, like, I'm glad you had a great experience at Chicago Cut. I think that it's important to go to these restaurants, you know, and keep the business going.
Well, just the city is trying to, you know, find its spark again, you know. Yeah. And you see people canoeing down the river in boats, and we wouldn't be able to do that if we weren't being careful, if we weren't in the previous 3 months and now, and apparently wearing a mask is keeping us safe, keeping this virus from spreading and sitting more outdoors than indoors and all that stuff.
So this weekend, will we be able to be outside for the entire weekend? Tracy Butler from ABC 7 will tell us next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour of Cap and Company is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. Chris Bleck, Jesse Rogers, in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm looking forward to the weekend, Jess. I'm going to try and play some golf this weekend. Are you going to get out?
Yeah, definitely going to try to do the same, although I am back at Wrigley starting tomorrow. So, I mean, work is first and foremost now because they're back training. So I'll be there Friday and Saturday. So I'm not going to go like every day, though, because we can do our Zoom interviews wherever. And, you know, the guidelines are don't take those kind of risks too much. So, like, I'm not being required to be at every single practice all the time. Again, we can do the interviews from home. And once you see one BP, you've seen them all. But you need to go to see the execution of this thing. So I'm going to go the first 2 days, Friday and Saturday, which is July 3rd and 4th. But in between that, I'll probably play some golf like you're doing. And here's the thing. I know we're getting to Tracy Butler. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a holiday weekend. It just feels like a weekend because a lot of the July 4th activities have been canceled. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the Corona hotline and talk to Tracy Butler from ABC 7. Follow her on Twitter at Tracy Butler, ABC 7. Tracy, not only are we going to get to the weather, you also have a brand new puppy as well. How's that going?
Well, Chris, you know what? I'm going to call you the dog whisperer because you were great, gave me some great advice the other day. Things are getting better. However, I would like her to stop chewing my shoe when I'm wearing it. That's a bit of an issue for right now. So
I can solve that problem for you, Tracy. Just take the shoe off.
Yeah, it doesn't. Then she bites my foot. Like, it doesn't even matter. There's something there. I don't know, Chris. So, yeah, we're going to need some more dog whispering with this one. But, yes, we got a new pup, Jess. Her name's Bailey. We had been looking, you know, like so many other people,
right,
getting Corona puppies, I guess they're called now. And so finally it happened, and that was my husband's Father's Day, actually.
What kind of dog is it, Tracy?
She is a silver lab. I'm not very familiar with many breeds at all. And quite frankly, I wanted an Irish Wolfhound. That's the dog I've always wanted. I love that breed. So I don't know a lot about labs. And this one just happened. This opportunity came after we'd been looking for a while. My husband was actually looking at a boxer and a husky. And, in fact, we talked to Cap a lot about huskies because he has his husky that he absolutely adores. But I guess this one was meant to be, and Bailey is ours. And so it will be interesting. We have to go get her first round of vaccines today. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, good luck with that. Are we playing golf this weekend?
We are playing, well, I'm playing golf and you're playing golf,
yes.
But I don't think we're going to be able to play golf together. But you know what? This summer is not going by without us playing golf. I mean, we need to have a, you know, Mother Nature and her wicked son's golf outing or something. You know,
oh, I'm with you on that.
Football team. We got to have that.
Absolutely.
So, but you know what? For anybody who's making a tea time, seriously, the earlier you can get out, the better. And I'm talking not just the weekend. I'm talking probably into at least next weekend, guys. We are going to have a stretch. I'm calling it the summer scorcher stretch, where we're going to have consecutive 90-degree days coming our way. And we've dialed back the humidity a smidge today and through the weekend. But next week, I think we're going to get that humidity building back up. Limited rain chances. So if you're, you know, passionate about your yard and lawns and gardens, water, 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 because I don't see a lot of rain coming our way in this pattern, just a lot of heat and humidity.
Yeah, and that's interesting, Tracy. I believe I saw last night on ABC 7 that July was the second wettest month of the year annually. Do I have that correct? And if that's the case, are we going to get it a little bit later in the month? Because we're not getting it right now.
No, we're not getting it right now. And this, you know, July is typically one of those months where we get those sort of thunderstorms that kind of pop up in the afternoon sometimes. And right now, I don't even really see much of that coming our way. But I do see, you know, a consecutive streak of 90-degree days coming our direction. We've had nine already so far this year. And usually by this time of the year, we average about four. So we're already ahead of it, but you really have to go for the all-time record of most 90-degree days in a year. It was back in that really hot summer that you guys are way too young. But 1988, we had 47 days in the 90s.
Wow.
That particular year. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, hey, I heard you talking. I was, you know, listening, guys, watching you guys on Twitch. And, Jess, I heard you talking about how, you know, the guys aren't going to have to warm up so much like they do for April baseball
right.
when it snows half the time. But they'll be dealing with a bit of heat and humidity.
So, Tracy, since you brought baseball, as we head towards the fall, what do the weather patterns kind of suggest that we're going to get here? Will summer creep into October like we've seen at sometimes?
You know what? That's certainly a possibility. I mean, the trend right now, and we're just really looking over the next month, really. And for the next month, it's looking like we are going to have an excessively hot and dry kind of weather picture. And this is of concern, of course, to farmers, too, that, you know, they need some rain. I know we had, you know, such an extremely wet May, and June was kind of feast or famine with some of the rain. Some folks just got a deluge in June, and then others, you know, really dry. But, you know, if you're just watching over your own garden, your own lawn, to keep it really kind of healthy, we need to have at least an inch of rain per week. And I don't see that happening. So I'm afraid folks' water bills are going to be going up around here.
Tracy, remember with the pup, positive reinforcement. That's the key. Positive reinforcement. Jess,
we use that on Chris all the time.
Yes.
We use that on Chris here all the time.
Does it work?
No, not with me.
He's not
behaving at all. He's biting on my shoe as we speak.
Yeah, well, tell me what I do as far as positive reinforcement with the shoe. And by the way, does that work with Cap?
You know, to be determined on that one. We're trying. Every day is a new day, Tracy, and we're trying to get through.
Treats, but they're keto friendly.
Hey, Jess, I have to say, was that you with your daughter in the picture in the Sylvie Strong
shirt?
Yeah,
yes, it was. Yes. Oh.
She is beyond precious.
Oh, yeah, she is.
So adorable.
She is. She's my youngest, so she gets away with murder, you know what I mean? So, we just got the shirts like the other day. I'm like, we've got to take a picture and get it out there. Everybody else has one. And so, it was nice. She actually posed with me. I was very happy for her to do that.
Wow, it's nice when your child wants to be seen with you.
I know,
right?
It's not often with me especially, right? I mean, it's not often, but
I know that feeling.
Yeah, so that was nice. All right, so big, big holiday weekend, hot weather. No one on this side of the studio is complaining about that.
No.
Cap and I have that in common. We like the hotter the better because we know what the winter, you know, brings, and that's always around the corner, those colder temps. So I'm going to enjoy it, Tracy. Hopefully you do too.
I will, guys. You take care. Have a great holiday weekend, and then I hope I get to see you guys really soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tracy. We appreciate it.
You bet.
That's Tracy Butler from ABC 7. Coming up next, Jesse, we will talk with Jeff Passan. More baseball conversation coming up in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.